With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Set your soul free. Wasn't no easy street where I come from. There wasn't no sleep until the work was done. Victory bell. One for the money, two another show, three start your engines now and rock and roll.
Well, welcome to NASCAR America Motor Mouse. Steve Letarte here alongside Kyle Petty, Jeff Burton. We have a fun show today in store. It starts with the fans. Make sure you call in 1-844-NASCAR-NBC. Guest today, it was a doubleheader of racing. For those of you who don't know, and it started in Long Beach for IndyCar and the IndyCar champ, Alex Palou will join the show today. We're going to hear from most of the playoff drivers in the Cup Series that took part in Las Vegas, including Team Hendrick, where it kind of went apart for them and their quest. And guys, I guess we have to start and talk about Denny Hamlin. He wins Darlington, walk-off win in the first round. Then he wins Vegas, a walk-off win, first race of the second round.
Yeah, I guess we have to.
You don't have to, but he won the race.
Yes, we do. Because he started both rounds doing what he wants to do, sending a message. I'm here. I showed up at Darlington. I'm here for the first round. Hey, guess what, guys? I'm going to be here in the next round after this one. It's fascinating that we spent the first 26 races talking about, oh, my goodness, when's Denny going to win a race? Mm-hmm. Is he ever going to win a race? Do you think he'll win a race? And now here we are in the second round, and he's won his second race.
Well, what I've been impressed with them is that through the not winning, he and his crew chief, Chris Gravehart, they have consistently been calm. They've been, hey, we're doing the right things. We just haven't been able to close the deal. And they have openly talked about the things they need to be better at. And, you know, Kyle, done this for a long time. You keep putting yourself in position, yep, and ultimately those wins are going to come. And that's kind of what it felt like to me with Hamlin and this team, yep, is that they weren't bad. They weren't slow. They weren't winning. But in Harvick, you know, the two that dominated last year, neither one were winning, but in two completely different ways. Yep. Like, Harvick doesn't run up front enough to get those wins. Hamlin was still running up front. So it was kind of just a matter, yep, of time. But you do start to doubt, like, what there has to be a problem, that's, right?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, and I said it yesterday on the broadcast, Steve, and maybe it was an overreaction, but I just not so sure that he hasn't taken Larson's place, yeah, as the favorite to win this championship. Yeah. I mean, you look at the consistency, they run well at every kind of racetrack. Larson does,
yes,
too.
Yes, they have.
But they've been there, done that. Like, they have the experience. Larson really, yeah, hasn't. Larson really hasn't been in a championship battle at this level. Is, yeah, he ready for it?
And I'll go back to the first 26 races, and there was a calmness about them. There was. I got to be honest with you. I didn't believe their calmness. You know, I didn't believe it. Because when you get to second, and you get to second, and you get to second, and you're not winning, it's got to eat on you somewhere. But they didn't seem to be that way. They were like, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. And they just kept... They kept doing, and I agreed. I remember you saying that on the broadcast. I agree. If he's not elevating himself to the favorite status, he is right there. You've got to have him in the same conversation week in and week out that you have with Larson.
Well, he's going to have two wins in the playoffs. The first race of each round are the best place to do it. Let's take a look at the leaderboard, and we'll get an idea of how everyone else is faring in the second round. You see Denny Hamlin now in yellow with that win. Kyle Larson, 57 is no guarantee going to Talladega, but I'll remind everybody the maximum points that can be gained in a race is 60. So if he can just get through Talladega, I'm guessing with Aaron four tires, he's going to have a pretty good shot of it. But really past that, even those cars in the 30s, I don't feel great about with Talladega. And I thought Dale Jr. had an interesting point about Christopher Bell at minus 25. He goes, while I don't like being minus 25, if it's anywhere, it's Talladega, because maybe I can all make it up. Well, let's listen. You know, the best interview of the entire of the weekend is the one that takes part on the front stretch with the driver after a checkered flag.
You're moving on to the round of eight with this win, Denny.
Yeah, just so happy for our FedEx office team. Whole Toyota team, it just Joe Gibbs Racing just gives us great race cars. That's what I'm so proud of, is to drive for those guys, and can't thank them enough for everything they do. Vegas, it feels so good to win in Vegas. Last couple times I've been so close and just didn't have the right brakes, but you know, they dialed the car in great, and great to hold those guys off.
Race fans, can you believe it? It's his first win here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Denny, hang on one second more. Let's talk about this now. You're the one that gets to sleep easy now this week when everyone else is getting nervous going to Talladega.
I'm so happy to not have to worry about the next 2 weeks. But, you know, I'm a professional, so I'm going to work just as hard each and every week to win.
I don't care. Nothing matters. You have to play the game. It doesn't matter who's the favorite. You have to play. I just think that it's so hard to predict. This championship is made in one race. It's so different than it used to be. And so our team, our goals going into the year is just make the final four, because, you know, it's really, really hard to predict what can happen in one particular race. But favorite, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to agree with Denny Hamlin on that point. When I talk about favorites, I think I want to start talking about who's going to make the championship four, because so much can happen at Phoenix. Yeah. But I do believe that not only the wins, but the playoff points he's gaining with those wins, kind of filling that total up. Martinsville's in that next round. He's going to run very well there, and he just wanted a mile and a half, and the next round has Kansas and Texas. Yeah. So I don't know why Hamlin, barring a disaster, isn't one of the favorites to make it there. I think the surprise for me was – both Darlington, he kind of came out of nowhere. And at Vegas, he really wasn't the guy until somebody else made a mistake, but he was there to capitalize. It's a different style of Denny Hamlin racing than I have seen in the past, and he seemed to be comfortable with it. And once someone fumbled the ball in his, man, he grabbed it and he did not let go.
Well, and I think that explains why they haven't won a lot this year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, Chris Gabar's crew chief says basically if you look at all the categories, they're better this year than they were last year. But they, to me, last year, they were able to control races.
Yeah.
This year, they haven't been able to control them. There's always been one person that might have been a little bit better, and that one person has problems. I think Kyle Busch is kind of the same way. He's had one or two people. Otherwise, he would have more wins. But and that's the difference between this year and last year, in my eyes, between where they are. But I just think this team is really dangerous. I just they have speed. They have been overshadowed for sure because they hadn't had the wins, but they ton of top fives, ton of opportunities. Yeah. And, you know, I know it all comes to Phoenix, okay? I know it's one, but one race that determined this champion. He says just get to Phoenix. You know how hard it is just to get to Phoenix, you know? It's very difficult. So, you know, I 100%, it's all get settled at Phoenix, but there's, you know, it takes a lot of work to get there.
So, KP, I want to go to you. He said with a laugh, and we're going to hear from a lot of other playoff drivers here, and they have nervous laughter when they discuss Talladega. How big of an advantage? He said, hey, I'm going to prepare. And I don't doubt he's going to go to win to Talladega and the Rebels to win. I mean, that's, of course, what he does. He's a race car driver. But beyond going to win, how much of an advantage for the team and the driver to know that even if they don't, it's going to be fine. They're in the next round.
Okay, so you're going to the only place that I remember us ever running – where you could have the big one that took out 25 people.
Yeah.
Okay? That's 25 points. It's 25 points. I mean, we've seen that kind of... So you talk about Christopher Bell being 25 out. You talk about somebody being 23 or 24 in. we can get huge swings at this racetrack. Well, you're not going to get huge swings for a group of people. We can get, the one thing that, you have to keep in mind is you're racing a group of people. You're not just racing, you know, Christopher Bell's not just racing Denny Hamlin. He's racing from Kyle Larson back, that whole group. He's got to insert himself somewhere in there to gain points on that group. And the best way to gain points on a group is when the group's in the garage area and you're still out there running.
Yeah.
Talladega is that place. Yeah. So for Denny, mentally, it just takes that stress off. And we all know what it's like when you can take stress off for just a little while. Denny has that stress relief all week long. All week long. He doesn't have to worry about Talladega. He can look past Talladega. I agree with you. He goes there to win. They go every week to win. But he doesn't have to worry if he doesn't win. He doesn't have to worry if something happens.
Well, you mentioned the group. We were fortunate to catch up with most of the playoff drivers. You may not hear from the team Hendrick here because we're going to talk about them separate because they had some great cars with some other issues we're going to break down in the second segment. But here are a bunch of other playoff drivers reflecting on their race at Las Vegas.
Honestly, the balance never really changed on our Subway Ford Mustang, and just kept plugging away at it, and way better than we were here last time, made up some points, and go to the next one.
Is this just another example of you guys making the most of you can out of a race and out of a day?
Done it all year. It's an old story, right?
So we're all speed, really. I mean, I thought a couple cars a little bit quicker than us. Got the behind the eight ball a little bit there in that second stage, having to pit at the end and having to take the wave around and come from the back, so that kind of hurt us.
Nothing really went as planned. We were definitely better in the daytime when the track was hot. It was probably our best run. Unfortunately, that was when we had a loose wheel. We had to pit before the green flag after the comp caution there and lost the handle a little bit and lost some speed on top of that and had another vibration. So pretty much nothing went good at the end of the race. So maybe we should be happy with an 11th after all that and fighting through it. Left some on the table, though. That's probably the frustrating part.
You know, at no point were we the fastest car, but we executed really, really well, and pit crew did an awesome job. We're not beating ourselves. This is a really dangerous team with the execution we have right now. If we could just find a little bit of speed, we can win races and win a championship.
Yeah, just disappointing. Locked the front brakes up coming into pit road and couldn't turn and got into them. So that was super disappointing, but race was pretty much ruined before we got started. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like we have the speed and we're capable of running with those guys. We just got to clean up a little bit of mistakes on my end.
Yeah, we just never could quite get the balance right. Really struggling off turn four all day long, no matter what we did. So not sure exactly why. Not really something we've had here in the past. Wish we could have been better, but all in all, you know, to grind out a fourth with that car is a good effort.
I was looking forward to the lights coming on and us picking up speed and being able to rip the wall a little bit faster. But when we got hit into the fence there off of two the first time, it definitely knocked speed out of our car. And then I got into the fence again trying to get by a lap car. So just, you know, not enough room over there, I guess. It gave me a good piece. We moved forward all day long, so that was good. I've said it, I'll say it all the time, and if you can go to Talladega and you can come out of there with a 12th place finish with no stage points, that's a successful day. So I'll take that right now if I can skip it.
Well, unfortunately for Kyle Busch, he can't skip it. Before we move on, I would be remiss not to congratulate Kyle Busch. 600th start yesterday. Yes. 59 wins and 600 starts.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's breathtaking numbers. I know he's trying to get number 60, but a good day. And you, the fans, 1-844-NASCAR-NBC, any of those drivers you want to discuss, we're ready for it. I made some notes. I guess we could start about Kyle Busch. Third place, 600 start. I look at it as basically a solid base hit, right? No damage, no issues, no highlights. A good day, not a great day, move on to Talladega. Did I miss something?
No. And that's what he said. Yeah, it was just a solid day. We've seen those guys. Let's go back. We'll go back to Darlington. Let's go back. What'd he say? We'll just take what we can get. Let's just go to Richmond. We'll get what we can. And now he's having solid days. So they have turned it around in a very short period of time to establish a little bit of a beachhead and say, hey, we're third, we're fourth, we're fifth, we're running up front, we're doing what we need to do. Gonna have to up it a little bit more.
Agreed.
To get to Phoenix, but at the same time, yes, solid base hit.
How about his teammate Truex in fourth? He said they struggled with the balance all day. Yet another top five. So talk Kyle and Truex, the two Gibbs cars that I guess were there, just not in victory lane.
Happy Kyle.
Happy Kyle. Happy
with
Kyle.
With a third.
There we go.
Martin, you know, Martin, and you know, he said it. They just didn't have enough speed. Yeah. I mean, they just the Gibbs cars were just a step behind. Those Gibbs cars were. The 11 car wasn't. But they were just a step behind, weren't horrible, but they had solid days and on a, you know, in a season full of mistakes, that's an okay race.
Yeah.
Grind out good finishes, get what you can. That's what Truex said. We ground out a good finish with a car that probably didn't deserve to run as well as we did. That's what you have to do in playoff racing.
I feel bad for Christopher Bell, but I think this is a learning experience. I think that issue coming to pit road, he said it's his own mistake, but I think that's the pressure of the playoffs, yeah. knowing that maybe he's a step behind these guys and he has to find every bit, because that's not a mistake yeah. I expect a guy with that much talent to make. I mean, mistakes are made, but that was costly
yeah.
early.
Yeah, but listen, he's playing with the big guys. You know what I mean? These mistakes are incredibly costly when you get down and you're in the 12.
Lap 26. I mean, I mean,
that's early in the race. Yeah, yeah.
And, so, what are you gonna do? But, you know, but that incident happens because if you're night riding on the bumper of somebody coming off the road, they show you pictures on Monday morning. Hey, look, man, you're terrible. Like, look how far behind you are, right? I mean, that's
true.
That's why we're getting beat.
This is why we're getting beat on pit road, because you're not getting on pit road.
It was a mistake, and he said it was a mistake. But, you know, being in that position where I've had crew members sending me pictures saying, look, you know, we're working our guts out, having good pit stop practice, and you're coming in a half a car length behind a guy. You're killing us. You're going to run into somebody every now and then.
All right, well, let's head to the phones. Aaron, you're on.
Hey, guys. Great privilege to talk to you. Kyle Busch is the reason I go to NASCAR races, and I was in Vegas this weekend. And when I hear, and I know it was tongue-in-cheek, but there's truth in humor, and I won't even go to Talladega because he's so snake-bit there, even though he's won there. How, as a crew chief and as drivers, how do you get your driver past that, saying you can win, you have won, get over it, you can do this, you're Kyle Busch? And I know it's a stacked deck because there's only like six Toyotas versus you know, all the other guys that get the team up.
So Aaron, I think that's a great question, and I do believe two things. Car does matter. They are closer to equal, but they are not all equal. And mentality matters. Dale Jr. taught me both of those.
Yeah.
He was the best at saying, my car's not good enough. What do you mean? They all look the same. I'm telling you, make it better, I'll be better. He pushed me to be better at the speedways. And the other thing he pushed me to do is, don't sit on the box and fret at what you can't do. Figure out what you can do and do it.
Yeah.
And we raced like it was a repave at Michigan. That track position mattered. Do anything you can do to stay up front. And if you get wrecked, it wasn't meant to be. But don't get wrecked in 10th. That was our approach. Yeah. You guys both raced there. How did you have to kind of get your mind around going to Talladega?
Well, I was 0 for whatever there, so maybe I don't know. But I will tell you that I went – listen, this is, to me, super speedway racing. I went 1 year, and I think I had an average finish of like 4-point-something at the four plate races. That's really good, right?
Yeah.
The next year, I did the same thing and had an average finish of 30-something.
Yeah.
And some of that you get in your head is nothing I can do.
Yeah.
But if you go back and pay attention, a lot of people win these races that won them the year before and the year before. Yeah. There's a skill and there's an art to it. And you have to take that and say, okay, I can do this better. I can control this. And there are times I'm going to get wrecked, not of my doing, but I can control how fast this car goes. I can control where this car is put. And you have to take that mentality. I didn't do a good enough job of that. I looked at it too much as a crapshoot, and I should have looked at it as an opportunity to be better at it, and it just felt like luck to me, but it's not luck. Dale Jr. won a lot of those races. Dale Earnhardt won a lot of those races. Keselowski's won a lot of them. I know they have fast race cars, but they also know what to do with them.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing, and listen, if he was 0 for whatever, I was 0 for double that, okay? I'll say that, but I ran there when we ran 210 or ran 215, you know what I mean? And you just got spread out. And then all of a sudden, you put us all together. The one thing that I felt like you could never do going to Talladega is the same thing you could never do going to Charlotte or Martinsville or any other place. Change the way you drove. You go to run up front. You go to drive. You know, Dale Jarrett was great about lagging in the back and then coming to the front. I could never make myself lag to the front. If I was in the back, it's because that's where I deserved to be. I was just running in the back. You know what I mean? If I could run up front, I tried to run up front. Because you get to playing a different game than what your muscle memory tells you you should be playing. And when you do that, you make mistakes. You make mental mistakes. You choose the wrong lane at the wrong time. And it's just as Jeff said, those guys that run up front and lead and block and control are the same guys that are winning these races week in and week out. Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin. I mean, we can rattle off 5 or 6 of them that we know are going to go to Talladega and are going to control those first 3 or 4 rows.
Well, the team that controlled Las Vegas until early in the second stage, where they kind of made a mistake self-admittedly with their pit strategy, always easier to talk about on Monday. We're going to relive Hendrick Motorsports Day from Las Vegas, specifically Kyle Larson. How did he go from the dominant car to a 10th place finish? The only accident in Las Vegas was a gigantic one involving Joey Gates in the 15 car. The left rear tire and wheel leave the car. These still shots, Jeff, kind of take my breath away. I mean, we didn't have great shots with the cameras. We had one from a distance, and it looked like the car about flipped over. We then reported, it was explained to us, that Joey Gates went from Las Vegas to be evaluated at a hospital, from Las Vegas Motor Speedway to be evaluated at a nearby hospital. And then we got an update from Rick Ware Racing, which is the team that Joey drives for, as you see right here after the incident in Las Vegas. The medical staff decided to take him precautionary to have him further evaluated. Joey then has been released from the hospital and further evaluated back at Charlotte. Guys, I mean, that we've seen some big hits,
yeah,
but just at a standard mile and a half without another car hitting you, that's one of the biggest we've seen in a while.
Listen, I think it takes accidents and photos like that, and just like Ryan Newman's, to not get complacent.
Oof.
This is a dangerous sport. And every now and then, it lets us know, I'm still here. Danger is still here, lurking around every corner. And that was it was good to see Joey get out. It was good to hear these reports, because that was, for a single car accident, that was horrendous.
Yeah.
There's been so much effort put into making these cars and tracks safer,
yep,
but safety is a goal you're never going to reach. And you have to have that mentality that every day we got to be better. We can't get complacent, can't get lazy. And, you know, fortunately, he did get released from the hospital. But, you know, when you strap yourself into something going that fast, you know, we take for granted that these guys just hop out of these race cars.
Exactly.
We got to stay busy. Got to keep working.
And unfortunately for Joey Gates, that was the big accident of the day. And unfortunately for a few other cars, it was the major turning point on whether to pit or not to pit, kind of changed the course of the day, specifically for the Hendrick drivers.
I mean, obviously circumstances kind of went our way. We were able to get back on the lead lap when that cycle of stops got weird there in the middle with those guys making it on fuel. So we were on the fortunate end because we got back on the lead lap and didn't have to wave or get the lucky dog. So, yeah, we just kept tuning on it, and I felt like we were really, really close. Just needed just a little bit more or needed just a little track position one or two.
Yeah, I thought we were really fast. We came from the back to the front and took the lead, and then obviously had that caution, and I chose the wrong lane there and had to kind of run second there for a while. And then we had the strategy deal with not being able to make it on fuel and had to recover from that. We had to take two tires and that hurt us, and then able to drive all the way back to the front from the back again. So that's twice today, but and then we had the flat tire. So Exalta Chevrolet was amazing. I think it was right there with the 11 and never got to really race him straight up, but we'll just have to keep bringing that speed.
Today was probably our worst race, you know, execution wise. On my end, I missed pit road, you know, the pit call to stay out, stuff like that, and to still come away with a 10th and be upset about that is good. So we'll learn from our mistakes and be better throughout the rest of the year.
All right, so there's three of the four Hendrick drivers and the discussion and a lot of conversation about pitting and getting behind and wave around. So, Kyle, I know if you can indulge me for a moment, I love some strategy conversation.
I know. Go, bud.
So I think the best thing to do is let's kind of relive. I said this was the turning point of the race. I feel like Kyle Larson had this in hand, and it all started at lap 93. We shot Joey Gates' accident. That was a caution. This is early in stage two. I'm talking stage two. Not even 100 laps into the race. The caution comes out. Hendrick cars stay on the racetrack. Denny Hamlin for third. He thinks it's a no-brainer. He turns left. He comes to pit road. What that does is put the Hendrick cars in a position where they can't make it on fuel. Great adjustments by Alan Gustafson. I didn't see this call working out. He was right. I was totally wrong. They came in with a 9 car, got 4 fresh tires. For that reason, they were going to chase the leader down. William Byron was going to do the same thing, trouble on the right front. I want to take a moment and say, thank goodness the guy in the left rear was smart enough to not take the lug nuts off, allowed them to only take 2 tires. Larson then leads, runs very, very long, as does Alex Bowman. The strategy for both of those cars, take the wave around at the end of the stage. As mentioned, Chase Elliott, tons of speed, unlaps himself. Yeah. On the racetrack, an extra pit stop so fast, he unlaps himself, saves his day. This pass, which seems like nothing, the 24 of William Byron passing the 42 with 2 to go in the stage, puts him in the free pass position. That changes the lineup. Now, Chase, new tires, on a lead lap gives him a chance. William Byron, new tires, but back in the field. Right there highlighted. You see Kyle Larson with the wave around. Larson and Bowman, now they have old tires, and they're not just back. They are the last two cars down
buried.
There. An amazing final stage. No cautions. Chase Elliott drives from 14th to 2nd.
Yep.
William Byron drove into the top five. Flat tire, didn't matter. Ruined a great rally, but had a great rally.
Yes.
Bowman, flat tire, didn't have a chance. Kyle Larson, amazingly, could only get back to 10th. So it's easy to break down on Monday. The call seems clear. It's anything but. I've made way worse. And all the crew chiefs owned up to it.
Yes, they did.
So I ask you two, is this no worries and the rest of the field should be thankful they made a mistake? Or is this something that should be discussed when, you know, in the future looking at the other mile and a half tracks?
Well, listen, I think you have to, you know, I've never been a crew chief, but the only thing you can do is take your best guess at it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get a caution or not? And clearly, they assumed they were going to get a caution. And on a mile and a half, it's not Bristol. And you can't get lured into, okay, we've had these crazy races for the last several weeks and think you're going to get that same thing. Easy to say on Monday. And I think what will happen in the next race is if they can make it on fuel the rest of the way, they're going to be on pit road. Especially on a mile and a half. It's easy to say today. You know, I felt really bad for William because I thought William Byron, he was the driver of the race.
Yeah.
I mean, he came from the back multiple times. I don't know what happened. They couldn't get the right – it took them forever to get the right front tire on. I don't know if the wheel was turned. They could not get the right front tire on, and that messed them up. And it is a big difference between being in the lead lap and being the first car lap down and getting the wave around. That's a major difference in track position. And, of course, he had a flat tire later, but that prevented him from getting back in the lead lap the same way Denny Hamlin – I mean, the same way that Chase Elliott did. He had enough speed to do it, too. So – just things didn't go their way. You know, on a day where they made a mistake on pit road, they also had flat tires, they had other issues as well, and you're just going to have those days.
Yeah.
I wouldn't overreact if I was them. They have great cars. They're fast enough to do what they need to do to get done. I wouldn't overreact. I'd pat my crew chiefs on the back and say, it's okay. It's going to be okay, and go on the next race.
I know they were behind on tires, but so wasn't Ryan Blaney, who did drive up in the top five. Were you surprised Larson couldn't recover more?
Okay. I was surprised Larson didn't recover more than what he did after watching William Byron and after watching Chase Elliott. But here's what I'm going to say, and I know there was a mistake made. Do I believe that these guys will make a mistake in the next, six or seven races? No, I don't.
Right.
This is their mistake. This is it. So the other crew chiefs and other teams have to be a little nervous that, they all made a mistake. I don't believe they're going to do that again, number one. Number two, show me another organization out there that could have made this mistake and still drove back to the top 10. Show me another organization that was in the race. Maybe the Gibbs organization, but not the entire Penske organization, not the entire Stuart Haas organization.
Yeah.
This was an entire organization almost. Take Bowman out. Those three guys drove themselves back into the top 10, drove themselves back into a points position, drove themselves back into contention. And what if they had gotten a caution in the last 15 laps, 20 laps of the race?
Yeah, for
Kyle
sure.
Kyle Larson's going to be dangerous at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
If Byron hadn't had a flat tire, he's going to be dangerous at that point in time. So I think there's, even though we can say the mistake was made,
mm-hmm.
I felt like they overcome in a lot of ways. Did they win the race? No.
Right.
And that's what we're all talking about. They didn't win the race, and they could have won the race, but they overcame in so many ways.
I was checking my notes to make sure I was nice enough to Bowman. You mentioned the flat tire on Byron. Bowman's flat tire was so much earlier.
Yes.
I think he could have got back up in there, but he kind of got taken out right away
was
the deal. I will say this, though. Calls are very tough to make. I've been on the right side and the wrong side. What I learned is you have to keep swinging the bat.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more impressed with Alan Gustafson in the 9. I was up there in the booth. You saw him. I had the calculator going, how do you do this? And in my mind, it was clear you do what the 48 and the 5 did. You run long.
Yep.
It is safe. You put on four tires. You take the wave around. That is the safe bet, not Alan in the 9. He took a big swing coming early to put tires on. And when he came back out, we were looking at the timesheet. We were like, this isn't going to work. And Denny Hamlin hit this wall of speed, lost 2 or 3 tenths.
Yep.
And the 9 came like Jack the Bear in those last 10 laps.
Yeah.
I mean, all I could say to the entire 9 team, that was an impressive move to get themselves back in the race.
The 9 car got, once he got clear of traffic, he actually went quicker like his 10th, 11th, 12th, 14th lap was faster than the laps before. He actually found speed, and Hamlin slowed down in traffic. Here's the only thing I want to say about Larson and their team. There is a moment in every year, in every sport, where something changes. And something happens, and momentum shifts. And on a day where they made a mistake, you heard Kyle Larson say this was their worst day.
Yeah.
Their toughest competitor had one of their best.
Yes. Yep. Great point. Great point.
And so, the next mistake, are they as calm about it?
Yeah.
Because they've been mistake-free. I mean, that's not fair.
Yeah.
But they've had very few mistakes.
Yeah.
You just had it in the playoffs. What about the next mistake? When the next mistake comes and Denny Hamlin takes advantage of that too, well, now the pressure starts to build. Now you start to lose a little bit of confidence. Is this a moment where we have a momentum shift?
Hey, if we could sell momentum, we would be retired.
We would.
Because that stuff is near priceless.
We would. It is priceless.
Hey, one driver who has great momentum, but there's no races left. Well, that's the champion of the NTT IndyCar Series, driver out of Chip Ganassi Racing, Alex Palou, is going to join us on the other side of the break. There he is, still in Long Beach. Big smile. We'll talk to the champ. It was a doubleheader of racing on NBCSN yesterday, and it started at Long Beach. Pato Award, the closest to Alex Palou in the championship battle. Contact early, unable to continue. That brought the battle down to Alex and Joseph Newgarden. Penske, Chip Ganassi Racing. In the end, Alex with a great run and brings Chip Ganassi an IndyCar championship. You see the excitement. You see the celebration. And joining us now, still in Long Beach, the man himself, Alex. Alex, first of all, congratulations. Great smile. You have to be super excited with this performance.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, super happy. Yesterday was a great day. We had such a great season. And, yeah, I cannot believe it. Here we are celebrating with some fried chicken. And, yeah, just had a great day today.
I love it. My man's out. Roscoe's Fried Chicken, famous out in Long Beach. So I'm going to jump in real quick. So where are you heading to Talladega on the Cup Series? All the playoff drivers are concerned because they can't protect points. They don't know how to race there. I had nerves for you heading to Long Beach, that tight street course. I figured that was going to be a nerve-wracking place to protect a points lead. Did you have those nerves going into it? What was your confidence level heading into the race?
Yeah, maybe going into a street course for the season finale, driving IndyCars, it's not the safest way to protect a championship lead. But yeah, it is what it is, right? It made the things a bit more exciting. We were safe. We did a great race. My crew did a fantastic job on strategies and pit stops. And yeah, we were okay. I was a bit nervous. Yeah, maybe. Just because I knew we were starting there from 10th and I couldn't control what the other cars were doing. But yeah, we were lucky yesterday. We had a good race and we finished it in the top five.
Listen, Alex, congratulations, but I got to tell you the truth. I've watched more IndyCar this year because of Jimmy Johnson than I've ever watched in my whole life. And I understand that through this year that you kind of helped him. You kind of helped him with some road course stuff, and he kind of helped you. What's that relationship like?
Yeah, man, Jimmy, well, you guys know, but Jimmy's amazing as a person, as a champion, as a driver. He's been improving a lot, and I'm scared that he's going to do even better in the future. So he's been teaching me a lot on the mindset, especially, and how to overcome difficult moments, how to continue on really good moments. And I've been trying to just push him a bit more on the road courses. So he's been doing great. And as I said, I'm a bit scared about the future with him.
So, Alex, we all of us have family in racing. His dad, you might know who he is, but and we've all have a connection. But you grew up and your family wasn't racing. But here you are coming from family without racing. And here you are the champion of the NTT Series. How did that happen?
I have no idea. We started just because we wanted to have fun doing some laps around a small go-kart track that we had around home. So we just started going after school during the weekends, as I said, just to have fun, and we didn't plan on this. So I don't know how we got here. There was a lot of people that helped us to be here today and to achieve what we achieved. But yeah, super proud of all the journey that got us to be an IndyCar champion now.
Hey, let me ask you one question. Roscoe's, are you by yourself? Are you using the trophy as dipping sauce? I mean, what exactly is going on with the trophy sitting on the table? Are you just carrying it around? I don't know, man. No. I just don't know.
I'm not by myself. There's a bunch of people here on the back. And we're just doing some videos, some photos with the trophy. So I didn't think about the dipping sauce inside the trophy, but maybe once we finish with the interview, I'll do it. And I had a bunch of fried chicken, some waffles here. So yeah, I'm not by myself, but I would do it. Like, come on, we just won the IndyCar Championship, so why not?
Well, hey, that's my question. I want to know where the celebration is going to go. I realize you and your girlfriend, you own a coffee shop back in Spain. So is this going to be a Long Beach party that heads to maybe an Indianapolis party where Chip Ganassi's based that finally ends up back in Spain? I mean, is this going to be a global celebration?
Exactly. You got it. You just described it, the whole plan. So started yesterday night with the NTT Data crew. It's just continuing and it's going to end in Spain. So at the end of this week, we're going to celebrate with all the Chip Ganassi racing back in Indy. And then as soon as I get home, we'll celebrate with all my friends and family in Spain.
Chicken and waffles, Steve.
That's it,
right
man.
In my alley.
That's it, dude.
You
and I do that a lot.
I'll tell you.
Normally late in the night or early in the morning when we're doing chicken and waffles.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if the right parties get too, you know, if you need a little more help at the parties and you're looking for someone to come, Jimmy Johnson has all of our numbers. You let him know and we can be there.
Okay.
That's it. All right, Alex. Congratulations, man.
Congratulations,
we're going to get you
man.
Off here. You can get back to celebrating. It's a great season for Chip Ganassi.
Yes.
Great season for you. Congratulations on your championship.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me. See ya.
Thanks.
I'm going to tell you what, I got a chance to go up to the Indy 500 and see that organization go. And I talked to Doug Ducart, longtime NASCAR guy, and he told me way back then, I said, man, Alex is pretty good. He goes, let me tell you, that kid is the real deal.
Yeah.
And he said it in kind of a tone and a direction where he like didn't want other people to know, like he's the real
he's our
deal.
Guy.
And
that's
he proved
good.
It.
His
that's
confidence
good.
Is
yeah.
Yeah.
really
way
high.
Up,
you know,
man.
He believes in himself and you can see it when you talk to him, when he does interviews, the way he drives, he is full-on committed, just gets right after. It's fun to watch.
It's been a great season.
I'll
give him this as
year.
A warning. Jimmy Johnson has practice celebrating seven of them. So just go ahead and pace yourself.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a pro.
Pace yourself. That's good. Pace yourself.
Jimmy's a pro.
Spoken from experience.
Let's go back to the phones. NASCAR.
Hey, guys. You know, we've been talking about Hamlin and Larson, rightfully so. But there's a guy I'm sitting here watching, and we've already mentioned him, and that's Blaney. Now, no, it hasn't been a clean playoff for him, but he's there in fifth. Even though they haven't had the speed as Gibbs and that, if they stay mistake-free, good pit stops, is there any reason why they can't be that team that, hey, we didn't expect but be there in the Final Four?
Somebody's going to be the one we don't expect. Yeah. I don't see a reason why Blaney can't be the guy. I believe he's the most consistent Ford each and every week. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I think they have the most speed. What concerns me is, do they have enough speed, right? And with speed, you can overcome mistakes. And you're right, NASCAR, is that, you know, they don't make a lot of mistakes, but when they do, can they overcome them?
Yeah.
They're going to make mistakes. We all, it happens. But yes, I think that they can. I don't know that they can take the fight, you know, the way they really want to take the fight. But the key is getting there. If you can get to Phoenix, right, that has to be your goal. Just do everything you can.
Yeah.
With cars that aren't quite as fast, you just have to execute perfectly.
They're not fast enough, in my mind, to go outrun them, but they are fast enough to capitalize on others' mistakes.
Yeah.
So if anybody else trips up, I do think Blaney can be a factor. All right, Kevin, you're on. Kyle Petty and Jeff Burton.
Hey, everyone, how's it going? And thank you so much for having me on. My question tonight really is just talking about William Byron going into these playoffs. He's another one of those drivers where you see him, you know, he came out, he won a race earlier this year. And, I mean, you're really thinking, man, he's now below the cut line. How is he to survive this playoffs? You got Talladega coming up. We know he can seal the deal over at Super Speedways when he won his first race at Daytona not too long ago. And at road courses, he's not too bad either. So what do you guys think of him going forward into the playoffs?
Great question, Kevin. Well, Jeff gave him driver of the day yesterday, so KP, I'll let you take this. And your thoughts on Byron?
Look, I'm a Byron fan. I have been since he came into the Cup Series when Rick brought him up to the Cup Series. I like, and Jeff just talked about it with Blaney. Can they overcome their mistakes? Okay, we saw yesterday that Byron and those guys overcame their mistake. Can they overcome bad luck? Nobody overcomes bad luck. Nobody. Sorry. That's just the way it is. I think he has all the tools. He has the car. He has the mentality. He has the crew. He has everything it takes to get to Phoenix. I do believe that. And I do believe if they continue to run like they had run and like they ran Sunday, they would be good. But we have to go back to Darlington. You have to go back to some of these races, and they just... Things happen, and they weren't in the game. They got to be in the game like they were mid-season, where they were just knocking off those top fives, top tens, and be consistent, and they can't make any mistakes. I just don't – I think they're a team that has the speed, can overcome some mistakes, but they can't have any more mistakes.
And with his age, regardless of the results, these playoffs are going to be invaluable in his career. I mean, he's going to be one of the franchise drivers everybody's going to be looking at in for years to come.
Watching him is like watching Jimmy and Jeff. They're when they first – Mm-hmm. had that shot at it in first challenge.
Even a little bit like Logano when he first went over to Penske and I think found his footing a little bit there. So, Gary or Jerry, because my hearing is awful, you're on.
Hi, Steve. My question is, I've seen the pit crews pump the gun three times to put the wheels on. We had a lot of loose wheels yesterday. What's your comments on that?
I think you're absolutely dead on it. I think, you know, so let's go all the way back. Pit crews at one point weren't even gluing five lug nuts to the wheel. Yeah. They would glue four. NASCAR had to step in and say, okay, stop. We're going to make – and there's severe fines and penalties. I mean, Roddy Childers is not going to be at Talladega because they had two missing lug nuts on the four car. But I think you're absolutely right. When I watch pit stops during the race, it seems like the effort to tighten 20 lug nuts isn't quite as high as it perhaps could be. I think the unfortunate part for NASCAR is we're six races from a new car with one lug nut. So
exactly.
I don't think this is something that they need to address. I think it's going to police itself, and it is with the loose wheels.
It is
policing themselves. So I believe this is one more thing. You have to decide, Jeff, how willing you are going to be to 20 tight, no doubt lug nuts, or how aggressive you be to try to keep up with your fellow, you know, teams on pit road.
Pretty sure the race winner early in the race said, "Hey, I feel like I got a vibration." And he said, "Yeah, you might not have got one tight, but don't do that anymore.
Right.
Don't mess with that today."
Yeah,
pretty sure I heard that from the race winner.
Yeah.
I understand pit stops matter. I get it. I understand it. But we are seeing so many drivers having to pit with loose wheels. I don't know, man. You got to get them tight.
Yeah,
you got to get them tight.
This is the fascinating part to me on the loose wheel thing is you gamble, and you gamble just to stay even a lot of times. They're gambling just to stay even. It's not gambling to get ahead. I'm only going to do three lugs just to stay in second, just to stay in fifth. Go ahead and tighten. Run seventh or eighth. Because the penalty for having that loose wheel is far greater than seventh or eighth.
Gambling
and
to stay
I think
even.
The risk versus reward a lot of times is not there for some of these guys.
Gambling to stay even. He just described my entire trip out to Las Vegas. That was my entire trip. Jose, you're on NASCAR Motor Mouse.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for having me. I have a quick question. In regards to Kyle Busch, do you guys think that this 2021 playoff season remnants his 2029 playoff season when we saw he had a pretty bad first round and a second round, but then he picked up his pace towards the end of the third round and ultimately ended up winning the championship? Do you guys see some similarities compared to this season compared to 2019? Or do you think it's just...
Yeah, well, go ahead, Jose. Sorry. No.
Or do you guys think it's just... the way that the race has felt towards his way towards the end when he just picked up the space and the pace in his car with the speed. Do you guys think he might pull off the championship win? Because I feel like it's something similar to 2019 when we're talking about what's wrong with Kyle Busch.
Observant question out of Jose. This is what I'll say about Kyle Busch. There's not a race he's on the lead lap or a championship battle he's in that I don't think he's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Hamlin's a little better at times. Hendrick has a little better at times, but you know, he's not miles off, and he has the ability behind the wheel. If whatever that little thing is gets found, he can attack and attack right away. You talked about momentum earlier. I almost think that's all this team lacks. You talked about the, oh, man, he left Darlington or whatever it was, all upset. And now he's back.
That.
So I guess, quickly, your two thoughts. Is there any reason why we think Kyle Busch doesn't have a chance yet?
So they went to New Hampshire, and I was saying that I thought that they were the best Gibbs team, that I thought they had made major leaps, and they wrecked early in the race in the rain, right?
Yeah.
And since then, it's not been clean.
Mm.
I mean, it hasn't. True. Like, it's been a lot of things that have happened that, you know, they don't seem to be as good. They when I say as good, they're two or three positions behind what they were at that point. I thought they had kind of said, okay, they can take the fight to Larson. They're now the best Gibbs car. So now you got to outrun Larson, right? And there you are. But here's the problem. And this is just the reality of how tough the playoffs are. Can he beat Larson? Can he beat Chase Elliott? Can he beat Denny Hamlin? Right now, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So who does he have to beat to be that fourth guy in the playoffs? Like, I don't think he's the second guy in the playoffs. No. We just talked about Blaney here. Is he the guy that can surprise?
Yeah.
To me, like, they're going to have to step up and execute if they're going to be one of the four going to Phoenix with the, I said Miami, but going to Phoenix with a chance to win the championship.
Yeah, I don't think he's, and the question, like he asked, was, do you think he's at that point where he's getting almost ready to gain his momentum, almost ready to pull the trigger, almost ready? And you have to say, you don't know. You don't know.
Yep.
I'm going to say this. If I'm Kyle Larson or I'm Denny Hamlin or I'm some of these guys that are Martin Truex, I want to get rid of Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch as quickly as possible because they're the ones that you let live. They'll come back and bite you. So get rid of them now while you've got them on the ropes. Try to get to move on past them and not have to worry about racing them.
And it can be something as simple as Talladega, a place he's not looking forward to. What happened if it's his move? Off turn four through the trioval, the big move top to the bottom. Why can't Kyle Busch win Talladega? A track that perhaps we aren't putting him at the top of the list.
True.
Could Talladega be that leap? I mean, I don't know. Listen, you don't want to keep Kyle Busch around.
Right. No. Race car drivers always have an opportunity. That's why Kevin Harvick hadn't won a race all year long. Had hardly even sniffed many wins, and we're still sitting here saying, you better get rid of him.
You got to get rid of him,
because we know he's a great driver.
That's right. He will bite you.
Nostradamus, Kyle Petty, gambling to stay even. Gambling to stay even. I'm going to write that one down. So we're going to talk more NASCAR playoffs. Maybe we can take a little peek ahead to Talladega, get these guys' opinion on who needs a great run. Well, perhaps the biggest story coming out of the first round of the playoffs was the incident between Harvick and Chase Elliott at Bristol. Harvick went on to have some quotes. These are from Las Vegas. Very unhappy with with Chase Elliott. We can go through here, but he basically feels that it was clear to him that Chase Elliott affected his car on racetrack, and he feels that NASCAR should have maybe stepped in, and he's unfortunate or unhappy that they didn't, and it sounds like he might at some point. He's definitely not over this incident. Chase Elliott, on the other hand, came out of the NASCAR hauler. This is where this came from. Both drivers were called to the NASCAR hauler together for a conversation. And Chase's quote, you can read it there on screen. It's real simple. I love the end of it. I kind of said my piece. And that's where all the stuff I heard out of Chase Elliott was moving forward. So just real quick review. Incident at Bristol. We heard all those sounds. NASCAR meets with both drivers. Kevin Harvick, still very upset. Chase Elliott, I don't know, deflecting, moving on, call it whatever you want. That's where I have it. There were no other fireworks at Las Vegas. Thoughts?
Well, I said I don't want NASCAR involved in this, right, as far as making rules. Yeah. I do like NASCAR sitting them down to try to just say, look, guys, like, y'all do what you got to do, but remember, there's a limit. Like, you can cross the limit. I like that. Yeah. Harvick is in a situation where he doesn't have a whole lot to lose.
Yeah.
So he's pushing the buttons. And Chase Elliott has a whole lot to lose, so he's trying to defuse it.
Exactly. And that's it. In a nutshell, that's it.
One guy has a fire extinguisher, one guy has a match.
And that's it, because the thing is, I agree, NASCAR needed to set him down, because if it escalates beyond that and NASCAR hasn't set him down, then NASCAR becomes part of the issue. And NASCAR has set him down and said, okay, we've had our piece. You guys know where we stand. At the same time, Harvick has always been, you were a teammate, and will always be the guy that tries to get in your head, okay? And it's like you said, it's Chase saying, I'm not going to let him in my head. But Harvick's like, he's a 9-year-old. It's like talking to my 9-year-old. Did you hear that quote? Yeah. That was the one I love. It's like talking to my 9-year-old. You know, he doesn't get it. He doesn't see the big picture. He doesn't. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. This is going to test Chase a little bit. But I think Chase is fast enough where the only thing Chase is going to do is this. Right on by, because he's got the speed right now.
Well, Kevin Harvick finished 8th in both stages, 9th in the race, so it's solid performance. Definitely not, I think, what they were looking for. Improved from the last trip to Las Vegas. Chandler, you're on NASCAR Motor Mouse.
Thank you, Steve. So, guys, for many years, Harvick and Ronnie Childress have been together. And in my opinion, I call them the Mick Jagger and Keith Richard version of NASCAR. And, you know, with last night with Ronnie Childress being suspended, and this time Greg Zebedelli is coming in as a replacement for not a replacement, just a fill-in for Ronnie. What can you expect out of Kevin and Greg Zebedelli coming this Sunday at Talladega?
I don't think there could be a better fill-in than Greg Zebedelli. The guy's won championships. He'll command the race team, and it couldn't be a better racetrack than Talladega, to be quite honest. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And I saw a tweet from Roddy that said, you know, everything happens for a reason. It was 13 years ago that my twins were born. I had to rush home to see their birth. So maybe he'll recharge and refresh. Yeah. I don't think that was his goal, but I think that's a good approach looking at it.
Yeah, here's all I'm going to say. Please tweet me which one's Keith and which one's Mick. Just so I can get that Mick Jagger, Keith Richards thing so the next
Wednesday
time I
show.
Talk to him.
That'll be on Wednesday show. We'll see that
Please tweet me because I want to know which one. Listen, it's Talladega. I don't see. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I think it happened at the right time.
Yeah, perfect time.
So we have one more caller I'm hearing. You're on NASCAR Motor Mouse.
Yes, this is Lawrence calling from St. Louis. I just wanted to you guys real quick thoughts on the Xfinity Series. Those guys are running great. A.J. Allmendinger and Austin and Harrison, and how about those junior guys running 1, 2, 3? So quick thoughts on those guys. Thank you so much. I'll just hang up and listen.
Big day for Junior Motorsports. 1, 2, 3 finish. And Josh Berry really coming out of the, I don't say out of the shadows, but I don't think anybody had the one car winning.
But
it was. I actually loved it. How about the slow roll getting out of the car? I don't know if this is true. I can't wait to ask him, but he looked like he was like, I might get emotional here, so I'm going to take my time getting out of the car. And good for him. He deserved it.
We watched the Saturday races. You guys call the Saturday races. Some of the Xfinity races have been fantastic really this year, man. Fantastic racing. You throw in Josh, you throw in Harrison, you got AJ, you got Cindric, you got Allgaier. There's so much on the line every week for these guys. So much on the line from points and in the playoffs right now. But it was an exciting race. It was good to see that.
I mean, let's not forget, they're aligned with Cup.
Yeah.
So while their playoffs just started, they're going to the same Talladega and the same Roval.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the points. So, like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of drivers that can't, you know, do what Kyle Busch said he hopes he can do, just get a 12th and no stage points. Well, guess what? You can't do that. Yeah. So the pressure's on. I mean, you look at Myles Snyder, Brandon Jones, Harrison Burton, Justin Haley. They all got to go get points.
Yeah.
They all got to race to get stage points. If you don't, you might be in big trouble going to the Roval.
Wow. And I believe that deep down, the Saturday race sets the tone for the Sunday race. I believe if you have a bunch of wrecks on Saturday, somehow Sunday gets a little calmer. If the Saturday guys can stay a little calm, there's going to be nothing calm about Sunday.
The Cup races have been wreck fest. At Daytona and Talladega, they've been nothing short of a wreck fest.
Wreck fest,
recently.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I'm not going to make you pick Talladega. You and I, we get Wednesday off. Not my man down here. He's doubleheader this weekend.
Yep.
Oh, you got to call in and pick Mick.
I'll call in and tell you which one's Mick and which one's Keith.
All right, I think it's you, DJ, maybe, on Wednesday.
Don't ask me these questions.
Yes. Here, let me look at my schedule.
He doesn't know. Listen, it's the entertainment capital of the world for a reason. Las Vegas was unbelievable, and doubleheader of racing was great. Congratulations once again to Alex Palou. Yes. Thank you for calling in. And congratulations to Chip Ganassi, leaving NASCAR at the end of the year. Another championship in the stable, well-deserved. More NASCAR Motor Mouse on Wednesday.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.